Randy Heckman. He wants to be the United States Senator. He wants to take Debbie Stabenow's job. Randy, how are you?
I am great, Tony, and how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks so much. You were in Lansing yesterday.
I was, actually north. I was in Clinton County. I don't know if we got, well, we maybe went through a little bit of Ingham, but there was a barbecue up in Clinton County with the Republicans there.
Well, tell us about the visit.
Well, it was a good time, good group, obviously good weather, a little bit warm, but it was at a nice home there in the Bath area, and had a great opportunity to meet with people and just share with them the passion we have for fixing our nation. We got to do something quickly, or we head down the road that as we look and see what's going on in the streets of Greece. That's going to be in our future if we don't turn this thing around.
When we first started talking with you, I thought of your campaign being similar to Rick Snyder, who's now our governor. When he first decided he was going to run, a lot of people said, who? And I know that I've said that to you, too. You faced enormous challenges, and now you've got another big one, because it appears Pete Hoekstra is going to throw his head into the ring. He finished second in the gubernatorial race for the opportunity to run for governor against a Democratic candidate, which ended up being Virge Bonaro. What were your thoughts when you heard that the congressman was going to get into the race?
Well, frankly, I was surprised. I mean, he told all of us just a few months ago that he and Diane had decided that he was not going to be running for this position. But apparently got pressure from a number of Republican folks and fundraisers, or I don't know, whoever, and they coaxed him to come back into the race, and obviously made enough offers to him of support or whatever that he was persuaded to get back in. So I was surprised, very frankly. He's a friend of mine. I welcome him in the race. I think he's going to make me a better candidate. I appreciate the fact that his getting back in is drawing attention to this race again, which obviously the election's more than a year away. And that's actually good. I think he's going to make me a better candidate. I'll make him a better candidate. And at the end of the day, the voters are going to decide who's got the more fire in the belly to help fix our nation at this time in our history.
You both are from the west side of Michigan. His name recognition is greater than yours at this point in time. Had you known he was going to get into the race, would that influence your decision?
Oh, absolutely. I told Pete, you know, he's been a friend of mine for 20 years. I told him back in December of last year, January of this year, before I made my decision, I said, Pete, if you're going to get in the race, tell me, and I will defer to you. And he really did nothing to discourage me from getting involved, even discussion of giving me his contact list. And again, I repeatedly, we spent hours together, actually on a trip to Chicago and back. So I gave him every opportunity to go for it, and he chose not to. And so I felt the pressure and the leading, actually, through prayer and talking with many close friends, that we're going for it, and we are. And we have this incredible love for our country and for the people. We have 12 children, 21 grandkids, and we're really concerned where our nation is going, Tony. And so we're in this thing to fix America. And every day that goes by, this fire that's been downloaded into me seems to get more intense. I just have such a desire to do what I can to bring healing to our hurting nation.
Do you feel betrayed, if you will, by Mr. Hoekman?
Hoekstra,
excuse me.
Well, I think that goes too far. I mean, it's. I talked to him a few weeks ago. I said, hey, if you sense God leading you to get back in this thing, we're still friends. And we are, but publicly, we're going to have a fair but spirited campaign. And the people will see, again, who brings a new fresh set of legs, which I think we need to get into the game at this point, to bring this healing to our country. And I believe at the end of the day that people are going to see that, that we need a change. That's me.
What are the differences between you and Pete Hoekstra? Why are you more qualified to be the next senator for the state of Michigan?
I really believe that, again, it's a question of passion. It's a question of a background. Again, I ran for probate judge in Kent County at the ripe young age of 27 against a well-known incumbent. I was a virtual nobody and no money, no name. I ran against a well-known incumbent because I wanted to change what I felt were real problems in our juvenile court. The juvenile court was not being responsive to juvenile offenders, and juvenile crime was just going out of sight in Kent County. And I told voters, I said, if you agree with me that we need to change juvenile court, which is just one part of what a probate judge does, then please vote for me. But if you disagree, vote for him. He's a good guy. I ended up getting 55% of the vote. And I really see this run for Senate similar. Is I have this passion that just will not quit to bring healing to our country. We are borrowing, for every dollar our federal government spends, we borrow 40 cents. And every day we add $4 billion to our national debt. Now, actually, Pete Hoekstra was part of the TARP. He voted for the TARP. He voted for the auto bailout and other programs. He added to, you know, some of the debt that now is looming over us, and he's going to have to answer to the voters, frankly, for that. And I, again, my sense is we need someone with the passion and the love for what we've been given to get into this game with a fresh set of legs to turn this thing around.
All right, Randy, the House of Representatives have put together a plan that the Democrats and Republicans were able to live with. It doesn't stand a chance in the Senate. Have you had a chance to take a look at that, and what do you think about the debt ceiling and trying to pay down our debt?
Yeah, well, we've got to pay down the debt, or it's lights out for America in just a handful of years. I like the cut, cap, and balance plan that the Republicans voted on a few days ago. I support it 100%.
And I also wanted to get your take on how Debbie Stabenow has handled this debt ceiling situation. The United States Senate has kind of been on the back burner. Of course, they're democratically controlled, but they don't support any of the Republican initiatives in this.
No, you're absolutely right, Tony. They like to spend. It's almost like I was talking last night with some of these folks up in Clinton County. It's almost like within the Beltway, there's this belief that if we vote on it or believe it's strong enough, we can erase the effects of gravity, or we can believe that 2 + 2 equals anything we want it to be. It's just like there's an unreality there. It's like a twilight zone. I mean, 2 + 2 will always equal 4, and we keep adding to this debt with a sense that we can do it indefinitely. I don't have a category for that. And Debbie and her fellow Democrat senators have been part of that. They have not passed a budget in the U.S. Senate in over 700 days. They're supposed to do it once a year. And it's just like, I don't get it. I just don't have a category for the lack of leadership that we have in Washington.
Tell us about the Saturday candidate debate in Berrien County with the Republican Party picnic.
And that is, in fact, down in down southwest, way southwest in Michigan, Berrien County. And I know at least I will be there, and another candidate, Pete Konechki from Roscommon County. And I'm going to be calling the folks today. I want them to invite Pete Hoekstra to be down there. In my opinion, Pete Hoekstra and those that are advising him will encourage him to kind of try to stay above the fray of the riffraff, you know, to just kind of keep going with in his jet, you might say, flying above all that's going on the ground. But I want him down in the ground, and I want to interact with my good friend Pete Hoekstra, just for him to answer about some of the things that he did with his 18 years in Congress, and whether he really has the fire in the gut to get in and provide leadership that is sorely needed in Washington today to turn this thing around.
Sounds like you're saying Pete Hoekstra is this jet-setting fat cat, and you're a man of the people.
Well, I have been, as you know, you and I have been talking every other week or so for the last number of months. I have been on the ground putting tens of thousands of miles in my car, speaking to thousands of people around the state, and just telling them about how we need to provide, again, that leadership so critically needed to turn this thing around. And I'm going to keep it up. And I really believe at the end of the day that the voters are going to decide that we provide the leadership that is needed and are going to send me to Washington in 2013.
For the record, three times this week we have tried to contact Pete Hoekstra and we have not heard back from him. Look forward to having an opportunity to have both of you here in studio and have a friendly debate discussion.
Yeah, it'll be friendly, it'll be spirited, it'll be, you know, above board, but we got to do it. In a sense, we're running, we're seeking employment, you know. It's saying we you know, which one of us will be the better person to go and get the job done for the people of Michigan and for our country.
All right, Randy, as I let you go, I know that the Democratic supporters, the supporters, if you will, of Debbie Stabenow are going to say, oh, no, here we go with another Republican who's going to come in and he's going to cut social services and the poor and the middle class are going to be left out in the cold and the Republican fat cats are going to get bigger and bigger and get more incentives. Well, how would you respond to that?
Again, my approach is, yes, there are people with needs, but government is not the best method, best organization to meet those needs. We can look back not even too far in the history of America and see that the best help given to those in need was done by nonprofits, by churches, by extended families, by neighbors, where you can mentor people. That's what real compassion is. It's person to person. And again, the money is there. The federal government, you know, doesn't create wealth at all. I mean, the wealth is there. The ability to give is there. Every time we have a major crisis, a hurricane or whatever, people generously give. And if we can have, and we have a lot of great organizations in Michigan now, we need more that provide this need and help people, not just throwing fish at them, but teaching them to fish and helping them to be self-sufficient. Government is not good at that. Government pauperizes people rather than ennobles people.
Randy Heckman is running for the United States Senate seat currently held by Debbie Stabenow. We'll be talking with all the candidates throughout the process, including Randy. As always, Randy, thanks so much for your time.
Tony, it's always fun to talk with you.